Good morning and welcome to the New Media Show. My name is Todd Cochran. Glad to be back with you. We were off last week. We'll talk a little bit about that and why. But of course, I want to give a warm welcome to my co-host, Mr. Rob Greenlee. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Doing fantastic, Todd. It's always great to come back, especially after a week off or a show off, I guess. It's great. And there's always stuff happening in the podcasting and new media space, and I'm excited to talk about it. I think our guest, which I'm sure we're going to announce or bring on board here, has got a very fascinating kind of solution to a long-standing podcast kind of recording practice. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. So of course we want to welcome our guest this morning, Mr. Tim Sinclair from Ringer. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show. This is going to be fun.
Well, I tell you, and hopefully we won't have any of those problems during the show today that makes probably what Ringer is bringing to market so popular. But I want to take a few minutes and just talk a little bit about what's been going on. And Rob, of course, the reason we were off last week was because I was tramping around in snowy, actually quite warm last weekend, Chicago, and flew out last week ago Thursday. And got into Chicago Friday morning. I got about 2 hours of sleep before the guys were pounding on the suite door saying, let me in. And we sat down and we did about 58 hours of, I guess for a better word, strategizing, planning, and, laying out a roadmap for 2015. And I don't know if you've, a lot of corporations, I'm sure they show up with a fancy projector and it's death by PowerPoint. And so what we had is we had two huge VAT boards, in the room. Plus we buy these, I don't know if you've ever seen these before. Staples sells them. They're sold by Post-it notes. They're about 2 feet wide by 3 feet long. And all there are is they rip off, sheets of paper that you can stick against the wall. Yep. And, before the weekend was over, I'm sure the maid came in and was like, what the hell is going on? Because there was 30 of those that were, basically stretched across the room. And of course we're doing everything from drawing stuff about interface changes to, the priorities. But I am absolutely sworn to secrecy. I can only tease you really beyond that. But I tell you, if we make the timeline, and I have set some pretty high timeline goals for Angelo and the new programmer we're bringing on board, we are going to have, for a better word, I feel, and this is really how to sum it up, Saturday about noon when we finally finished the dev discussion, because it took us a day and a half to get through that, I was literally jumping up and down in the suite. Imagine this 50-year-old fat guy jumping around, jumping up and down, kind of like a bomber moment, screaming and and going crazy. And because I really think we came together with a strategy that I'm going to be really excited about, really excited to announce. And then we're not say that's not going to be it. We're going to, if we make the development timeline, we will announce at Podcast Movement the second and probably one of the biggest things that we've ever announced for the company. And so I'm excited with 2015. It's just like we kind of looked at our work, our handiwork after the 3 days. Of course, we're exhausted because, we work right up to midnight Sunday night and the guys are starting to fly back Monday morning. And we're like, holy crap, we've done a lot of work. So, I'm jazzed with the way the space is going. The space is on fire right now, still.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think it's going to continue as well. But if you had 30 of those things up, there must have been a lot of really good ideas bouncing around.
Well, we have our fair share of, one thing is after you work with the same group of guys for going on 10 years, you can really be very brutally honest.
Yeah, I'm sure.
To the point of, it's like, no, that's stupid, or yes, that's great, or you have to sell me on it. It's fun having those types of conversations where you can just be 100% frank, and Barry sitting on the sideline like, what's that going to cost me? Anyway, I've chit-chatted enough about that. I'm sorry. It gets away from that. But I just, you know, I know the audience follow, you know, you and I watch what's going on in the space heavily. And I'm just, if we make the timelines, I'm going to be really, really excited. And it's going to help the podcasting space in a big way. So before we start jibber-jabbering with Tim here, anything you've got your ear to the ground on that you're hearing?
I think that the big thing, I just was kind of diving into talking to people this week, just people outside of the podcasting space that are coming in from maybe a different perspective and, you know, trying to get some perspective on what's happening. And I know this whole dilemma that we've been talking about for a long time and about between podcasting and what's happening with YouTube,
right,
and how it's a generational thing. I talked to some folks that are really kind of adamant about, as you look at the millennials that are coming through the system, and that those are, you know, people that are in the early 20s or younger, they're just not really listening to much radio, and they're really not really doing too much with long form content. And I guess the big question gets back to, and I think we have alluded to this on the show before, is are those young people going to transition to consuming longer form content? And are they going to transition to spoken word longer form content? Because currently today they're mainly stuck in this world of Netflix and short form video content. And I think all you have to do is look at what's happening on Facebook and how, you know, as you scroll through your wall, there's like, you know, 30 second to 1 minute videos, and that's what people are consuming more and more of today. And I guess the question gets back to is what's the future for audio podcasting as you look at that generation? I think it's a really, really fascinating question, and I don't know that anybody really has the answer to whether or not that generation is going to transition into like what Todd, yours and my generation did, because, you know, back when I was at that age, I didn't listen to long form audio content either.
But
eventually I did, right?
Right.
So, you know, I think that there's like 100 million millennials, and I think it's a market that podcasting could miss if they don't have compelling content that fits in that area. And I think that the thought is that short form video content was going to be where that 100 million plus just in the U.S. Is going to be spending most of their time. So I don't know what you think about all that, but I think it does kind of dovetail a little bit to the conflict between YouTube and podcasting.
Well, you know, I think when I was in my 20s, I only had a couple of things on my mind.
Yeah, exactly. That's part of it.
It was women. And, you know, it was, you know, going out and partying with my buds and, you know, as soon as I got married and then had a baby and, you know, Barney was playing in the background, and all of a sudden I've got new financial responsibilities and extra mouths to feed, my perspective changed. So I think we will probably see the same with the millennials to a certain extent, but at the same point, they are more savvy. But I'm actually excited about the millennials because they're going to bring a whole new, they're going to get to a point where they're now not going to be they're going to want to be the voice. And when they want to be the voice, then they're going to bring their own style of entertainment to their peer group. And that to me just spells, I think we've got a healthy future now.
Also scary too, if you think about what appeals to that generation. Just think of, you know, Jon Stewart type of,
but it's going to shift,
right? Yeah.
It's going to shift. And, you know, I don't know. It's all going to come out in the wash in the end. I'm excited because they're digitally connected. That's the most important thing. And, you know, so I think over 10 years, my audience hasn't necessarily gotten older. You know, I look at survey results from 10 years ago, and I look at survey results that I'm getting recently, and the age bracket is staying pretty close to the core. So but the audience got older. So my demographic didn't move to the right. So I'm, you know, yeah. I, I'm thinking we're going to be okay.
Yeah. So, but it's not necessarily a good sign for radio, though.
Oh no, radio.
Yeah. Radio is in trouble.
Radio screwed. You know, yeah. let's be honest. Let's be, you know, my kids hate the radio. You know, they hate it. So.
Well, they just don't listen to it.
Right. Well, it's what dad listens to.
They don't even care, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But Tim, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So what's your thought on all this stuff, Tim? I mean, you probably are looking at it from a different vantage point, you know, so I'm curious what your thoughts are on this whole generational thing.
Well, yeah, I came out of an 18-year career in radio, so I completely feel what you're saying. And for whatever reason, radio seems to be the only medium that still says to our consumers and our users, you are going to find us at this time on this day to consume this content, and if you don't, you're going to miss it. It seems like everything else, podcasting, television, print, all archives their content in a way that you could access it whenever you want to. And if you miss it at 7:30 on Tuesday morning, you can listen to it at 10:30 on Wednesday night and still get the same benefit. And so that's the challenge, I think, that hits radio. Certainly it's somewhat generational, but conceptually, radio is really missing the boat when it comes to providing content in a way that people can consume at any time. There are certain stations and certain personalities that are getting better about that, but just streaming doesn't fix it. That just allows you to listen, you know, at the same time, but a different medium. We need to figure out a way to archive our content and allow it to be available anytime to anybody, anywhere, like TV has, like podcasting has, like print has, but radio doesn't have it fixed yet.
You know, based on the conversations I've been having, because I've been talking with a lot of radio people, small groups, not the Clear Channels of the world. They're doing their own thing, and we'll see if iHeartRadio survives. But there is a concentrated effort by some of the radio folks to figure this out. But I hate to say it, they have an older generation that is have charge of marketing, charge of brand awareness, charge of the message. And they really, I don't think as a whole, really get it. And it does arise from certain opportunities. I will say that when they do become engaged, that, you know, spending the money needed to get in the space and do what's needed is generally not an issue because they're used to spending money and making things happen. But I don't know. I think, Rob, you expected to come on a little faster than it has. But I think they need some reports and, you know, some of the folks basically saying, hey, your market share is starting to drop and no, you're not reaching this demographic. And all of a sudden a certain segment of advertising is going to dry up to them because the, you know, the car shop or the local, club or the, specific restaurant that may appeal to a younger generation is not going to hear that message on the radio. So when the advertising dollars start drying up, then they're going to have that's going to force them to move.
Yeah. I'm really starting to think that maybe there really isn't anything radio can do. Cause just the medium actually itself, you know, is what's dying. I mean, I think that the content that they've been doing on radio has contributed to that perception, but I do think that there's a trend line here that I don't know that even if radio changes course right now, that they can reverse their fortunes. I think it's going to be new companies that come up. You know, I think Pandora is an example of that, right? Pandora is just kicking everybody's butt. I mean, if you just look at the trend line of usage, and Pandora is like it's like a hockey stick, and radio is flat as a board. And I just don't know that they can really do anything to turn it around now. I mean, really, really, you know, I think more and more of them are going to really be abandoning the space and just going all digital. And they're going to have to come up with completely new content formats. They're going to have to work more with video. They're going to have to work more in areas that they haven't traditionally been able to succeed at. And that's going to require an entirely new strategy and an entirely new skill set and entirely new talent. I don't know what you guys think, but I think it may be too late. It's kind of like global, you know, climate change. It may be too late.
Well, there's the naysayers about global climate change.
I know there are.
and there's also the folks that are in a multi-billion dollar industry that are, they don't see the end. So I don't know. I think we'll see. And it all also depends on how fast the car manufacturers, change the dashboard, where when you turn it on, it's not turning on to FM. It's turning on to Pandora or Stitcher or Geek News Central or New Media Show. It's, depends on what turns on there.
Well, I think that there's also, just the sheer fact that radio is going to maintain its reach into a specific demo and age group that's still alive. But the truth of the matter is that age group and demo is dying off.
Right.
And it's still an unknown if they're going to appeal to that younger audience, like we were talking about earlier, that hates radio and doesn't want to have anything to do with it.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
It is. And we need to start talking with Tim about Ringer here, but one thing I want to remind everyone is the New Media Show is fast approaching. And if you haven't picked up your tickets yet, you need to do so ASAP, as soon as possible, because hotel rooms are going to start getting more expensive. Flights into Vegas are going to start getting more expensive. So you're going to want to get over to nmxevents.com and use the promo code New Media when you're checking out to get a discount on your tickets. We want you to get booked. Come join Rob and I. And I think Tim at New Media Expo, we'll confirm that here in a second, but it's going to be a great event. It's kind of like a big family reunion. You're going to get to meet all the people that you've been talking to online and social media and maybe listening to their shows. And you're going to get a chance to listen to the talking heads, folks that are coming to share information. They've got a broad training track and just the NAB accessory show. That's kind of a hard way to say this, but if you know, NAB and New Media Expo are obviously being held together. And when you see the amount of stuff that's actually at the NAB show, you're going to want at least a day and a half just to crawl that floor and literally crawl the floor, because it's a monster. It's something like 80 football fields of vendors. So you're going to want to bring your walking shoes, and it's going to be a great event. It's going to be the event to go to this year and meet up with family and have a good time. So nmxevents.com, or just come to newmediashow.com and click on the banner that's on the website and get subscribed. Not subscribed, get hooked up with the with some tickets and come on out to Vegas and join us.
Yeah, and we're actually going to be doing, Todd and I and Rob Walsh are going to be doing a super session on April 14th at 11 a.m. there too. So we're going to be live on stage doing a New Media Show at the New Media Expo.
Should be a lot of fun, and you can come out and ask questions, and it's always good to get the three of us together. You know, a lot of times people will notice in social media that Rob and I maybe have a different ideas on way podcasters should do things, and it's always fun to get us together when we're in neutral territory and have discussions. So
well, that's basically a panel session that we've been doing almost every year since podcasting started.
and Rob, I'll probably be able to share some interesting data I might end up giving it away before then, because I've actually been given permission to announce a number, but I'm not quite ready yet. I'll just save it for later, and we'll talk about it offline and decide when we're going to announce it on the show. But anyway, Tim, tell us about Ringer. And of course, everyone, we want you to make sure you get over to the Ringer site today, and definitely check it out at ringer.us, R-I-N-G-R.us. So tell us about Ringer and what you guys are doing over there and the mission and why you brought the product to market. First of all, I guess tell everyone what the product is for those that don't know already.
Yeah, essentially, I have a long career in radio and was always frustrated with the quality of interviews. The people we wanted to talk to are never in our market, we would do like everybody else does in radio anyway, and get them on the phone or occasionally, like many in the podcasting space have done, try to get them on Skype and record that conversation. And it was always frustrating because it never sounded as good as I wanted it to. And so I kind of combined the idea. I had a friend who was an artist, and one day I wanted to do some production with him on it, but he wasn't going to be in town. I didn't have access. He wasn't near a studio. And I emailed him. I said, Dave, answer these questions for me. Record the answers into just voice memos on your iPhone and then email me the file. And he did. And it sounded unbelievably good. In fact, the station I used to work for still airs that spot, and it sounds like he recorded it right in our studio. And so I got to thinking, well, what if I could actually speak to him over the phone, and while I was asking him questions, his phone would record. And then I went, well, what if both of our phones could record? And then sort of the idea of the double ender, for those who know what that is, sort of layered on top of this idea. And I started trying to flush out what that would look like in a mobile app of sorts. And that's really what Ringer has become, is a mobile double ender that allows each party to record their half of the conversation on their device, whether it's a phone or a tablet. Soon it'll be available for Mac and PC as well. And then when the conversation's over, the files are uploaded to the cloud, synced on top of each other, processed, normalized, and provided almost instantaneously to you in a downloadable file, actually four different types of files, so you can use them however you want. And it sounds like you're in the same room having a conversation rather than on other sides of the state or the country or even the world.
So, one thing that I've been lucky enough here is I invested a lot of money and a lot of bandwidth to make this happen, but this has never been perfect. We've had times where guests have dropped out, or they've been in a hotel room, or they didn't have the type of bandwidth that was needed to have the right connection. Rob, you and I both have kind of like, did that from time to time. Yep. But we do a show where I need the video portion of it, and so I hope you guys are thinking about maybe adding that at some point. But right now, it's just an audio-only product, correct?
Correct. We are. We do know that the same process can work for video as does for audio. And we know that if you can do it with two in audio, you can do it with 10 or with 20. And same with video. If you can do it with two, you can do it with 10 or with 20. And so those are all things in the future for us that we're working on. And we're trying to get the basic one-to-one going right now, and then the rest will come.
Have you been surprised about the demand for desktop? Did you figure it would all be mobile, or did you get what did the user base say at the very beginning?
Yeah, we toyed back and forth with what do we do first? Do we do desktop first? Do we do mobile first? We knew mobile was going to be the difficult piece, most difficult piece anyway. And we thought, podcasters especially, one, are early adopters of technology like this, and then they share it really, really well if they like it, and if they don't like it, actually. And so we thought, well, if we could go after the mobile space and allow anybody who wants to do a podcast to do it on their phone, you don't have to buy equipment. Literally, you just talk into your phone, and then you'll get a download file via email when you're done. If we could pull that off, that would be a great start, knowing that the desktop was going to be a need, because there were many in radio and podcasting who have their own mics and processors and compressors and boards and setups that you would want it to work in your normal chain. And so we just figured if we could tackle and somewhat master the mobile space first, we'd be in a great position to get some of the really early adopters who just want to try it and then know that desktop is coming right around the corner.
So the syncing has to be the challenge here, because I can understand the ability to you know, have separate recording streams going on. You know, that I get. But how did you guys overcome the syncing part to keep everything lined up so then it was done? You guys could put the pieces back together and it didn't sound like a train wreck.
Well, that was a challenge. The first challenge was getting a phone to do two things. One, keep a high quality recording of your voice on the phone and send a low quality stream across a voice over IP network. So that was our first challenge, to get the phones to be willing to do that and cooperate. But then the syncing was an issue. And I honestly don't want to give away too many of our secrets in the background, but there is an issue with, you know, if you're in other parts of the same city, that's a little easier than, you know, my CTO lives in London.
Right.
And so when we would record, there'd be a little bit more of a lag. Not bad, still very easy to have a conversation, but it's just, you know, a fraction of a second different than if you're talking to somebody who's a little closer. And so we had to figure out some ways in the background to allow our system to know that and to be able to adjust accordingly. And it's not 100% perfect, but it's really, really close to perfect at this point. And I'm amazed at what those guys have been able to do in the background so that we know how those sync up and how they're supposed to be, and that we can layer them pretty much perfectly every single time.
Even on this show, when I'm recording and I get done and I get the video done, there's a 3-frame delta. So I have to push the video that way. And I have to push the audio that way because it's just in the processing, things don't always completely line up. And I don't use there's a box you can buy that's basically it does in the millisecond range of keeping things aligned, but you have to have all the boxes tied into that timing system. And of course, you know, Skype doesn't allow for that. Neither does a few other things I have here. So it works good on the main box, but it, unless everything else is tied to it, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Where that's what they do in radio a lot. I know all those systems are tied together in a master time sync. So, I'm sure just speculating here and thinking about my geek self, I'm sure that's a portion of your guys' magic that's happened right there. It's really about time. And if you can keep the time aligned, then you're okay. When you were going over the challenges of actually making the phone do what you wanted it to do, then what is the actual quality that's pushed you guys? What is the, is it a wave file? Is it a, you know, I don't think phones do wave, but what do you guys actually get? What's the master that comes to you guys?
Yeah, you can record in a wave format, but what we're pushing back to our users is a 44.1 128-bit MP3 file. There are some purists I know who only like to work in wave, and I get that. However, our challenge is uploading and then subsequently having them download wave files. And there's four of them because we're giving you a left channel only.
Yeah.
We're giving you a right channel only. We're giving you a mono mix down, and we're giving you a stereo mix down. Oh. So you can adapt and edit however you want with these. You know, some in a news environment, they don't want their voices in it at all. They only want the person they're talking to so they can have news clips and play them back. And other formats will use that kind of thing too. So that's why the individual files are helpful. When it comes to Wave, we've at least right now said we're going to stick to MP3, and then there may be some premium services in the future for those who say, I want Wave, I don't want to deal with anything else, that will, you know, they can choose a package that would allow for that. And we have to allow for that on our end with servers and all that kind of stuff. And of course, those who want Wave have to know that it's going to take a little longer to upload and a little longer to download when they're going after those files.
Tim, can you explain kind of what the kind of process is of actually using the software and stuff like that? I mean, I'm just envisioning, and I haven't actually used the software yet, but one person would probably initiate the actual recording, right? That would actually trigger for all of the other people that are connected on a call, I'm assuming, because you wouldn't want to have each person on each end clicking record at different times, right? Or is that not how it works?
No, you're absolutely right. What we do is essentially when you log into the app, there's a little plus button, and you tap the plus button and you invite your interviewee by email. And you could put the, there's a calendar function that gives the date and time you want to do the interview. You can write a message and send them the email. And then that email gives them all the details about how to download Ringer if they don't have it already, and an access code. That code, if you already have the app on your phone or your iPad, you just tap the code and it opens right up and you're sitting there ready to go. All you have to do is click OK and you'll join the call. Okay. If you don't have the app, it'll open up the app store. You download the app. It's free. And then you tap the code and you hop right in. As soon as both parties are there at the same time, you get a 3-2-1 countdown on the screen and the little beeps that go with it. And as soon as that countdown is over, the recording has started, and you can go for you know, as long as you need to for your particular show. And then the interviewer is the only one who can hit stop to end the recording, and then they both upload, and the interviewer gets the download file within 60 seconds after the upload's complete.
Okay. Yeah, sounds like a good process. Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's something that a lot of folks have, you know, a lot of folks have been doing double unders for a long time, but the person has to have, you know, the right equipment on the other side to do that. You know, it really only works with someone that maybe you're doing, you know, a show every week with, but definitely not someone that's saying, hey, I want to interview on your business or, you know, and it just, you know, that guy doesn't have a studio, but he does have a mobile device. So I think.
Yeah, and this really allows you to, you know, you could be at your house, you could be at Starbucks, you could be in the car, and, you know, that person, the expert, we call them celebrities, but it's really athletes, actors, authors, professors, people who have something to pitch or some information to share, they have to hit one button different on their phone to do it this way rather than to do it with a phone call. And it's just as simple, and it really makes it sound like they're there with you rather than in a tin can somewhere.
Yeah, I could see why that would be the case, especially with a lot of phones now. I mean, especially the iPhone has such a good microphone in it.
It is, yeah. It is pretty remarkable how good that microphone is. And of course, and then there's a lot of people that are actually, you know, buying stuff from like iMic and stuff like that to even up the quality even more. You know, they've done a good job with all that. So
yeah, the earbuds sound great with Ringer, just the ones that come with your phone or your iPad, and the mic in those really works well. We are going to begin supporting Lightning port mics here in the very near future. So the iMic or whatever, I'm using an iMic right now, actually. So you'll be able to plug those right into the Lightning port on your phone or your iPad and really get some great quality. I do some voiceover work for McDonald's. I was recording in my walk-in closet with my iMic and my Mac the other day, and no one would be any the wiser that I wasn't in a professional studio. It sounds fantastic.
Closed closets, the best place to do audio, right?
It's been great. I've done a lot of stuff in there for lots of different organizations that I do voiceover work for. So,
you know what I found to really affect noise quality in a room? It's just have some stuff on the walls. Yeah, you know, and it could be anything. It just, you know, it really doesn't matter what you have. It's pictures or whatever, and carpeting on the floor. That's the, if you have those two things, almost any room you can make sound really good. You know, it's kind of crazy. I've got a sliding glass door and two windows in this room, and they're all open right now. With the, you know, you probably don't know if you can hear it or not. I don't think so, but you know, we got a windstorm going on right now, gusts up to 50 miles an hour, and you know, it's amazing to me that I'm able to do what I do in this room. So I hear people all the time getting, you know, their brains wrapped around the axle. I got to get all this sound noise. They have to have a box. And I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah, Todd, my first studio that I put together for doing my original radio show that I did for years and years, I basically used shipping blankets. And I basically just hung them on the wall. Yeah, if you go to my blog at robgreenlee.com, you can see it in the background. So,
and of course, when you live in Hawaii and you have a small space and there's a lot of stuff in the space anyway, that helps.
Yeah.
So one thing I want to do is just talk just a little bit about your guys' business model. what does it cost for someone to use the service? You know, what's the, you know, what's your guys' essentially business model for this?
Yeah, we're in beta at the moment, so everything is completely free, not only to download, but as much as you want to use it and try it out. We're just looking for feedback, what people like, what they don't, what, you know, where issues have popped up and what we can fix as we move forward. And the same will be true with Android when it comes out in mid to late March for a period of time. Eventually, once we feel like we've got those pretty stable, we're going to go to a freemium model where the download of the app will always be free. And the first 30 minutes a month that you want to use it will always be free. So if you're going to do one or two short interviews, you know, you'll never pay a cent. But then there will be a couple of pricing packages above that at the approximately $10 and $20 range based on the amount of time you want to use it in a month. Right now, our top tier is going to be unlimited. So if you're going to use it a lot, do a daily podcast or a lot of more long form interviews, that would be the way to go. And you wouldn't have any problem doing what you need to do. We do feel like there will be some premium features. I mentioned earlier, the WAV files. There's some smart processing. We're working on some other download, you know, pushing to FTP or straight to Libsyn or whatever your services are. There's some other things we're working on that I think could be more premium features in the future. But to start, there will be just a couple of packages based solely on the amount of time that you're going to record in a given month.
Well, we definitely want you to push to Blueberry as well. We have a well-developed API.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We ought to get all those in there.
And, you know, that's something we've been having a lot of discussions folks with folks, too, is that I'm all about the process. And it's one of the things where, you know, we've all been, you know, I'm married. I got three kids here, one in Florida. And time is really, really important to me. So one thing that I've always said, everything we do has to be optimized. It's one of the reasons why we set up our service the way we did. We want everyone to do everything in their WordPress site. You know, you do your post, you do your upload, you do your publish. You never have to go to a third-party website. It's done. And if you guys can set it up so that once the podcaster gets the media file back and it just shoves to their hosting service, all they really have to do at that point then is, again, go into their blog, write their blog post, link to the media file, and boom, they're done. They're, you know, yep, they're out of there. And I really think that is, you know, it's going to allow people to stick with this medium, because, you know, every time I hear someone say, oh, I just spent 5 hours editing my 30-minute podcast, I want to throw up in my mouth, because if I did that, I'd have lasted about 10 shows.
Yep.
And my wife would have been, okay, that's it. This is done.
That's a big reason why a lot of podcasters fade, is because they get really nitpicky about the post-production part. Yeah.
You know, and my audio now here, you know, I do a three-step process, and I run a filter, and then I drop it into Auphonic. It does its thing. I bring it back into Audition to make sure it's right, and I save, and it's get uploaded. You know, it's done. I know guys that just sit for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and takes out every know, anything they think. And I to be honest with you, I don't know how people have time for it, but some people do. So I'm sure that's part of your guys' challenge too, is people want the file back so they can start editing. And I'm not a big fan of the edit.
I think want to make it possible for people to do whatever it is that fits in their normal stream. So if they want to download it and edit for 5 hours, great, go for it. If you just want to push it to whatever service you use, then fantastic. We want to be able to provide for that too. And hopefully, you know, the goal is to be able to provide a sound that, you know, with some, we're doing some basic processing in the back, and we're going to be adding more of that in the future for those who want it. Some smart processing that will analyze each voice, decide what it needs, fill it out, and then push it back. And so for those who aren't going to do it on their own, just want an optimized sound without knowing all the ins and outs of how to do all that, we want to be able to provide that so they can just push it to their podcast server and be done.
Yeah.
Todd.
Go ahead, Rob.
There is a spectrum on that whole post-production part too. I mean, if you look at like a series like Serial, right, that gained a lot of popularity, that program is probably fits right into that as well. They probably do a huge amount of post-production.
I'm sure.
But it's not necessarily cutting out ums and ahs. It's more about adding a lot of kind of fade-ins and cutouts to different segments of audio content that they have to stitch in there. And then that takes a lot of time too. And I've done a lot of that work on the old show that I used to do too, where you have a lot of different people involved in the program doing an interview and then cutting back and forth. And that's a big format for public radio, is a lot of kind of fine tuning, fading in and out of different audio segments. And that's what takes a lot of time.
Thanks.
Clears is a storytelling format, really, yep, more than an interview format. And that's what you, yep, do. You write new introductions to set up the clips of audio you have. Yep. And so that's really a stylistic difference. But you're right. It takes a lot of time.
Yep.
Thank God I don't have to do that. I wouldn't have made it. You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, I really think that's a big part of the reason why I'm still here.
A lot of those shows have staffs.
Not a lot of shows have staffs, Rob. Serial has a staff.
All those shows that are in that format,
yeah,
that are public radio,
right.
widely distributed, have, you know, a guy
they've got all the money. We know they can afford to do that. I'm talking, yeah, about the average Joe,
just a regular podcaster,
right? You know, and the guy that's trying to keep his wife happy and go to the soccer games, and you know, let's be real, you know, this is part of the, and have your job, and you know, all that other stuff. So
the nice thing about Ringer is you could record that interview in your car in the parking lot at the soccer game and then go enjoy the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah. I could see, yeah, where that, you know, and I think a few instances, even with me, you know, I spend a lot of time out and about and on the road, and there's always people that want to interview me. And if I can say, yeah, let's do it 15 minutes, I could go to the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and get the car cooled off, shut the AC off, do the interview, get done. And yeah.
Or the hotel room, or, yep, you know, airport. Yep. I don't know if one of our first trials of Ringer was Rob Walsh from Libsyn. They were going to just test it, and they ended up, he was in the airport in Baltimore because his mom was having surgery, and they had to record their podcast. And they're like, well, rather than test the product, let's just record the whole darn podcast with Ringer. And they went for an hour and 15 minutes and did the whole podcast that way. And, you know, those things maybe don't crop up often, but even for those who have great studios and setups, you know, sometimes that's going to be an issue. And so we hope that's something that we're able to solve.
Yeah. I think you guys are on track. I know you got some competition in the space. And there's a few other players that are coming up, and I think that there's going to be plenty of opportunity here for the players. And you guys are just going to, you know, it's going to be a race for innovation, I'm sure. But you know, I've heard nothing but positive things from you guys so far, from you know, everyone that I've seen talk about your service. So I think you guys are doing the right thing at this point. And winning the hearts and minds, you kind of alluded to it earlier, winning the hearts and minds of podcasters is very, very, very difficult. And
yeah, we know if we do, that'll be a really good thing. And if we don't, it would be a really bad thing. So that's the risk you take. But, you know, for the marketing budget, it works out really well, because podcasters are so good at sharing stuff they love, and they have built-in audiences to do that with. And we know podcasters listen to podcasts,
yeah,
by exponential numbers compared to the general public. And so when podcasters are telling other podcasters about Ringer on their podcast, it's good news for us. And we certainly appreciate it.
You know, in 10 years, I have not had to spend a dime on, you know, ad campaigns, but we're actually doing some testing right now and doing a little bit of advertising. And we're going to do it over a couple of month period to see how well, or what the effect is, the net effect. And got the, you know, pieces in place to actually, you know, see if we're, you know, we're actually generating sales from that advertising. But, you know, that, you know, did word of mouth for all these years. And then when you can build a business and have employees on the payroll, word of mouth, that's a big feat. It really is. Not too many companies can say that.
For sure. Well, it's a good place to start for us, and we'll see where we end up. But yeah. For these beta tests, it's perfect.
That's great. That's fantastic. Todd, are you going to be exhibiting at the Podcast Movement?
We are. We're going to have a table.
Tim, are you going to be at the Podcast Movement as well?
Yes, we'll be back. Yeah. We sort of made our debut there last year. And didn't have any product whatsoever to sell, just an idea at that point, but definitely going to go back this year and really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that audience is perfect for your product. There's a majority of the folks that are at that show do these interview type shows.
Yep.
One thing is going to be a little different from, I don't know, are you going to New Media Expo as well?
Not this year. That was in our plans, but realizing that we probably wouldn't have Android ready to go, really made the decision that we're going to wait just a little bit until both platforms are up and running before we start investing significant dollars in things like that. So we'll be there next year for sure.
Well, you guys, if nothing else, should go to the show and talk to folks, because it's a different show. It's a completely different audience. Would you agree with me, Rob, that audience is...
Oh, it's going to be a lot different.
It's There's broader. Going to
be a lot more broadcasters there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that means for podcasting. It could be that they get more out of it than we get from their side.
Well, there's also different. But, there's a different mix of podcasters there too. You have, instead of so heavy entrepreneur and marketing shows.
Yeah.
You've got the full spectrum of shows that
real broadcaster type shows as well. And those folks are also probably, a lot of them are supporting podcasting as well.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a different audience. Definitely. Podcast Movement has been, you know, very much our kind of a marketing show of sorts.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's definitely a different vibe. You know, it's you know, and it's not a bad vibe. Each show has their own plus and minuses. So, I think, you know, you're going to be good, well targeted to be a Podcast Movement. They haven't announced any type of numbers yet, so I'm wondering how their show's shaping up. But yeah, we did get a table, Rob, and I think, I don't know if I'm going to go. Maybe Angelo might go. Maybe Angelo and Brian. I tell you, that show was interesting because we learned a few things. Because it was a different, a little bit different audience. We had the realization there, and I made some big changes when I got back from Podcast Movement on some of our plug-in. We made some major changes based upon some feedback we got there. So I tell you one thing's for sure is you stand there with a piece of notepaper, because they're going to come at you and they're going to tell you exactly what they love and they're going to tell you exactly what they hate. Yeah. And the hate stuff is what is going to help you improve your product in a big, big way. And that's always good, is to get the, you know, both sides of the feedback. And, you know, everything we've done with PowerPress has been fed by the audience members. I'm not the audience members, the users. You know, we have the wish list is almost 100% driven by, you know, ideas that come in, and we want to do this, we want to do that, or how come it won't do this.
It's when people stop talking altogether that you know you're in trouble. So I'm good hearing the love and the hate, but when it starts to get silent, that's when I start to get worried.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, when you guys, you know, from the feedback you are getting from the folks, what has been what's their experience right now? What can you describe that's coming out of the beta? What are you guys learning, and what are your users of the product telling you?
Well, first and foremost, we've just had a ton of great feedback, not even direct to us. Some of it has been, but some of it's been on Twitter. Some of it's listening to other podcasts where they've tested it or tried it out. And really, it's been overwhelmingly positive. And man, that just makes us smile. That's good news. A couple of things we've learned. You know, people never use the product the way you assume they're going to when you're testing it. And so then they start using it in a real world environment. And all of a sudden you realize, oh, that's going to be a problem. For example, uploading a file after the call's done can take anywhere from 15 seconds to 3 minutes, depending on how long the call is. Some people will go for half an hour or an hour, even on these calls. And the interviewee has not often, but sometimes just close their app. You know, the call's over, they say goodbye, and they just shut off their phone and go about their merry way. Well, we realized that the app, when it was closed, was not uploading in the background, and it was actually, in some cases, killing the upload altogether. And so we would have to go get the audio is still there. It's on the phone, but we would have to go get it kind of manually and bring it up and merge it ourselves, which we're more than happy to do. It's a glitch in our system. And so we've been, over the last 2 weeks or so, been sort of painstakingly going through the process of keeping that from happening in the future. And so that's the big issue. One other little thing we learned that I honestly didn't know about. I'm going back and forth between two cities right now. I've got a small apartment in Champaign, Illinois, and a small one in Cincinnati, Ohio. And the one in Cincinnati, I got the internet all set up, and they gave me the router and the modem. And it has something in it called STUN, which I had never heard of. I'm assuming that's an acronym for something. But what it ultimately does, in an effort to help you, blocks our particular voice over IP system. So everything works flawlessly, except you can't hear the person on the other side and they can't hear you, which is kind of the point. So we've had to go in and find some workarounds to avoid that blockage. So it doesn't affect very many people, but in my apartment specifically, and a few others I've talked to, they're like, man, everything worked fine, except I just couldn't hear them. And that's because of this thing called STUN that is causing some interference for us. So we're working through that now. And but in general, we've really been overwhelmed with positive responses from people.
Well, Dan Franks is in the chat room. And Dan, yeah, thanks for watching the show. And he said that
hi, Dan.
They're expecting 1,000 to 1,500. 1,500 is the max capacity. He says practically halfway to 1K now. And I think they only opened up their registration a couple of weeks ago. So that's good. That's great numbers. So if they're at 500 now, they're easily going to make 1,000 and maybe even press towards that 1,500 number. So you know, a lot of people don't make their plans, or they figure out they can go closer they get to an event. So Dan, why don't you put the dates in the chat room, because I don't have the dates in front of me. But
I think it was like September or something.
It's July 31st August 2nd, I think. Or within a day of that, one way or the other. But okay. I believe it's the 31st of July through August 2nd.
Oh, that goes back to my thing I was talking about earlier. So April, May. Boy, we're going to be really close in being able to announce what I want to announce at Podcast Movement. I don't know if we're going to be ready. We might be beta. Oh, man. Dan, you need to make that show like at the end of September, dude.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Yeah.
It's okay. I'm just kidding. You can't launch a show based around my slowness and developing.
I'm sure they'll move it for you. It won't be a problem.
Yeah, just move it just for you.
August 1 to 2, yeah, is the main conference days. So let's see here. April, May, June, July. Yeah, we might make it. It's going to be close. There's going to be some long coding days. Very, very cool. Well, you know, I think the main thing here that I want to get across to folks is that, you know, that you understand the product, and it's basically this is a product. If you are going to be doing interviews and you have the third, you know, the party in a different location, this is the way to up the quality instead of risking, you know, what you may or may not get out of Skype or another third party product. And a lot of times what will happen is, you know, those services can be unforgiving. You know, you can be in the middle of a conversation and just boom, the connection can go away.
Yep.
And we've had many times we've been talking to people here and they just disappear on us for a couple of minutes and something interrupted the flow. Now, that's not to say that that can't happen on this product as well, because the internet is flaky at times at best. But I think you have a better chance of coming out with a better product in the end.
The good news for us is if you get that echo, those hiccups, that digital noise that sounds like they're a robot, or you lose 2 or 3 seconds of their sentence. When you hear that, that can be kind of annoying. That's what you'll hear in your call. But when you get back the recording, all of it's going to magically be there.
Right.
Because it's recording what's actually happening, not what's being transmitted.
Yep.
So even if the call is a little choppy and you might miss a word or two or hear a little digital noise when you're having the conversation, the recording that you get back and that your audience is going to ultimately hear won't have that in it at all.
And you're going to get the quality of a first direct device recording versus,
right.
Yeah, coming over. You know, I've got a box back here that I haven't used in years. It's called a Telos line leveler, and that was how we used to patch people in. And
I have one that can take in two phone calls. The audio quality is horrible.
And if anyone ever calls into a radio station and they hear that psh, that's actually a Telos system that is patching them in to the call. They actually, you know, it's supposed to normalize levels, but you come across it like 32 kilobits or something like that. It's pretty bad.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
So what we've done, rather than, you know, bring audio together and then record it, we record audio and then bring it together. That's the nutshell version of what we're doing. Rather than record the transmission and all the loss, we record it first and then bring it together rather than the other way around.
There are some digital solutions out there, but you got to have each piece at each person's location. And that's not viable if you're just doing an interview with someone that you're going to do once, you know.
Right. Most people you want to talk to have a cell phone. They're not going to want to. You even know that trying to get someone to sit down at their computer for a Skype conversation can be a hassle sometimes.
Right.
So this is hopefully a solution to avoid all that.
Cool.
Though I did hear that a lot of the major wireless carriers are going to be moving to what they're calling HD quality audio for phone calls. I think it's coming. Boy, it's been a long time coming on that side.
Well, they're just IPing it, Rob. So what they're doing is they're calling it HD, but
higher quality.
I don't even know if it's that. They're just IPing the calls. When you make a call, instead of it being analog, it's going to be
all digital.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But I mean, if the audio quality is better, that's a good thing. You know, I'm not sure how they're going to handle that from a bandwidth perspective. Is that going to lower the bandwidth capacity of what you get on your data plan?
It's going to be just like Skype. you'll hear that fall off, you know, when the bandwidth drops.
I mean, because it's just painful now to make phone calls.
Yeah.
I mean, I just can't do it anymore. I have to do it over Skype or some IP connection now. Just
really?
The quality is just so horrible.
I hate to say it. I'm do 90% over my phone. I very rarely do Skype. It's the exception, not the norm for me.
Yeah.
So the only time I really use Skype is when I'm talking to folks overseas. I'm having a discussion with someone out of Israel on Monday. We're going to use Skype. But generally, if it's here in the U.S., I typically do phone. But it's interesting. You're using Skype more than you're using the phone.
Well, no, you use Skype on the phone.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. All right. Well, Tim, I know, you know, you had to go here at the top of the hour, but we want to thank you for hanging out with us and chit chatting.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. Thank you for having me. My son has a basketball game in about 15 minutes and I want to make sure I get over there and see him play, but it's been an honor to be on the show. And if anybody has any questions, ringer.us, my email is just tim@ringer.us. And, man, we'd love to. I'll even test the product with you. If you want to give it a shot and set up a call with me, I'd be happy to show you how it works and walk you through the ins and outs and go from there.
And have fun at the basketball game. And again, folks, ringer.us is the place to go. And get the app on the App Store if you're an iPhone user. And, of course, the Android app is sometime in March coming.
We're hoping for mid to late March. Yep.
And good luck with those challenges. I know the Android has its own audio processing section that can be a pain. So,
which is why the delay between the two. Yeah. But we're getting there, making good progress. So.
All right. Good luck. Thanks. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim.
Well, Rob, that, I'm surprised it took this long to get a double ender recording product.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's one or two other folks that are there. I think they're ahead. Sounds like they're ahead of everyone at this point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Tim has a really good product. You know, it's just, you know, I think that the big question is how big is that market as opposed to how people are doing it today. I mean, I think a certain percentage of podcasters do double enders.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty, but once, if they get it mainstream where it will, you know, it'll, again, it's about the process.
Yeah.
You know, I really think the process is important. And if they can make the process easier, and if you can save the content creator an hour or 30 minutes and do it consistently.
Well, and it's quality too.
That's true too.
That's the other big part of it. You think about Skype. Now, Skype has a lot more users today. But the problem with Skype is that it's trying to do live recording. Well, it's not even doing any kind of recording, actually.
Right.
You have to do third-party plugins to get any kind of recording out of it. And it's
sketchy because it keeps failing. Yeah,
and it's not always as good audio quality as you could probably do with what Ringer is doing. And it may not be as, you know, there could be a lot of latency issues. Now, Ringer can have some latency issues too, but I think there's less chance of that. Your actual communication with the other party is completely separate channel process. So, I really like it. I don't know how much I'm going to actually use it because I don't do a lot of kind of conversations like that for a show right now.
Yep.
But anyway, it was good to see that product come on the scene. I know a lot of kind of other podcast shows have been talking about our Ringer here over the last week or so. So I think it's kind of a hot product right now. And I think that the timing is right for a service like that.
Dan says in the chat room, I wonder if there's any application for people other than podcasters. So that's something to think about. And he also says,
I would think so. Yeah.
He says, I did an interview for a local NPR station. She asked me to call her from landline and then hold cell phone recorder up to my mouth to record MP3 on my end. Oh my God.
Okay. I guess that's one solution. Yeah.
So call on the landline. All right. And then hold the mobile phone. You know, that's please. It's, you know, I'm like, you couldn't have. Oh. Well, so they wanted a higher quality file is what they wanted.
Yep. Ringer is the solution to that. Right.
Oh, so, you know, that's true. So, you know, maybe that's their market. Maybe it's the radio market. You know, that's where, and in all honesty, he probably should be at NAB. Because he'd get exposure to that,
reporters and
to the entire radio space, you know, because that's where the radio guys are going to be.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
So,
totally agreed.
Yeah. So sure. If he's on the floor, he can walk around, but it's not the same as being there in the directory and have an index.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I tell you, Rob, I'm almost giddy. I am really excited about 2015.
I think it's going to be a great year for on-demand audio.
And yeah.
I'm going to start using that term more because I think what's happening in the space is that podcasting is going to be more about streaming, I think, as you look into the future.
You keep saying that. I don't think so.
Well,
the numbers are not panning that out.
No, I'm not saying that that's what's happening yet.
Right.
But I think as you think about this generational issue, I think that the millennials and the up and coming generation, they don't download things like this. They stream. They just hit play.
But they're not listening right now anyway. So I'm not worried about them streaming. And
no. Yeah.
So I you know,
it's still, I agree, it's still 2/3 download.
Right. You know, and if Pandora, somebody adds podcasting, that's fine. Yep. You know, it'll just be another.
And that's not going to be download.
It'll just be another distribution point.
Yeah, and if Spotify adds podcasting, if all these music streaming services add podcasting, that's not going to be download.
Right.
They could add it, I suppose. And honestly, they probably should, but whether or not they will is the question.
The key to this medium still is the on-demand part. I want to I want to get on
that's
the airplane. You know, before I flew to Chicago, mm-hmm. you know, I went and looked at my phone. I made sure that the 3 or 4 shows that I wanted to listen to were up to date.
Yep.
And I got in, went into airplane mode, and for 9 hours, I was serenaded by, you know, my favorite podcasters. And same thing on the way back and in the car. You know, it's I very rarely, because, you know, it's, yeah, I've and it's another thing is concerned too is bandwidth. You know, folks are using Pandora on their desktops in their office. They're not running Pandora on their phone all day. They just don't, because it kills the bandwidth. So there's still this huge desktop play from that's how they're, that's where Pandora's majority of their market is people playing it in the office on their desktop. So from a mobile standpoint, taking the podcast on the go is still the key component to our success.
Yep. Well, it is today, clearly. That's the usage pattern. I mean, I see it in iTunes too.
You know, and I've got a 12 gig plan. I have my iPhone, and then this is provided by Raw Voice. They pay for this. So five of us share 20 gigs. And then I have a MiFi that I have paired with my iPad. I have that on a 12 gig plan, and I ran out of bandwidth this month. Yesterday was my last day, and I actually went over a gig and had to pay the extra money. So that really irks me. I'm paying an additional $15 for a single gig of data, but I had to have it. So, you know, what did I do last month differently? Well, I probably played a few more shows without downloading them, and I won't do that again. I'll download them when I'm on, you know, the iOS. Yeah, download when I'm on Wi-Fi.
Well, so, you also spend a lot of time in the car driving too, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, you know, everyone does. They spend 20 to 30 minutes each way in their vehicles. That's average commute for a worker.
Yep.
The city dwellers are on a bus doing the same type of commute or walking, you know, 5 to 7 blocks. So, you know, there's lots of opportunities. The gym, you know, I just think the media is still unique enough that the audio portion, I don't think people are going to stream it, because when you say stream, that means you're going to join a program in progress.
No. I'm talking about on demand streams.
Well, I doubt on demand streams are going to grow that quickly. Again, it's purely a bandwidth issue. If you're in your home or at work and you're connected to Wi-Fi, sure. Let's click play.
Yeah, I'm not saying it as isolating just to mobile.
Right,
I'm saying
right.
I mean, the whole ecosystem, I believe, over time will shift more towards streaming. Not, it's probably going to shift to half.
I would be surprised.
It's going to take a couple of years for that to happen. All these big music streaming services need to come online with solutions that people are accustomed to using, and the usability is good on them. I don't see that the download piece is going to go away.
Well, the download piece has continued to grow as people are getting away from the desktop, you know, as people are more mobile desktop. That's why download has maintained dominance in this space at this point, is because, you know, the desktop
they're
market
downloading to their mobile device,
right,
what you're saying,
right,
off of Wi-Fi.
Yeah. And the desktop is declining. You know, oftentimes now everyone is so focused on their desktop, they really forget about the mobile piece.
And if you add in there the piece, you know, car playback too, as more and more head units get podcasting built in, I believe those platforms are going to be more streaming than they are download.
And also, and I know, you know, we've got speculation on where the listening space is going to go, but I think there's going to be some shakeup in the podcast services space this year too. For a variety of reasons. I think there's going to be some changes.
Well, there's not that many players in that right now.
Yeah, that's right. But I think there's, you know, I foresee some shift. I really do. And podcasters just, you know, have to, you know, keep their ears to the heartbeat of the space, and they should be okay.
So when you say shift, are you saying that there's going to be fewer players in that?
Or changing of players.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I tend to agree with that.
Yeah, changing of players.
And things don't ever stay exactly the same.
No,
we've been around the space long enough to see people come and go.
Yep.
And there's been, you know, mainly that's been happening around content networks, not so much hosting platforms. But,
right.
But it has happened with hosting platforms, you know.
Yep. Control your feed is all I can say. own it. Or, don't allow a third party to own your feet or have an escape plan.
or make sure that that platform has a way for you to easily move.
In short notice.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Like, hey, fellas, we're pulling the plug in 2 weeks. Make sure you have a way to get out.
Yep. Yeah, because we've seen people get burned before.
Oh, burned. Destroyed.
And it's not hard to...
2 days before Christmas, yeah. Got destroyed.
Yeah, and it's hard. I mean, it's not hard to offer that kind of support to users on a platform to be able to move all your
if a platform goes away, then they don't announce that until the very end. They don't give the person enough time.
Yeah.
You know, and people always, I really get bashed a lot for keeping up this mantra of controlling your feed. And then there's that, you know, others in space, well, we don't control someone's feed. Well, unless you own it, you're at the behest of the person that has the service that has your feed, you know, and, I don't like to be in that position. You know, my lights stay on because of my audience, you know, and if I was cut off from my audience.
Does PowerPress have the ability to take a feed from a third party service? It could, you know, it could be, you know, Podbean or whatever, put it into your platform and utilize your own feed.
Podbean number one doesn't have a way to leave Podbean.
I mean to be able to take a feed, kind of like
WordPress can take the Podbean feed.
Feed and then translate it into a feed that the podcaster would actually own.
Yeah, they could use that to import. There's a couple of plugins out there they can use to import. Yeah. So they can rebuild their site on their own. Mm-hmm. But the only way.
Use hosting from another third party provider that uses their feed in iTunes.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, the problem is getting away, you know, and luckily the Apple folks are a little more responsive now. And you can email them and they will update, you know, it may take 4 or 5 business days, but they will change your feed if you email them in the system. You know, there's a couple of steps you have to go through. But what happens when 1,000 feeds need to be changed in 3 days? It's not going to happen. You know, it just won't. Those people are going to be maybe months waiting for their feed to be updated in a system. And again, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying Podbean's going away. I'm not trying to imply that at all.
No.
So just let's say that front so I don't get sued. But I'm just saying that if you don't have a way out easily and quickly, and you know, typically when I tell people to move, it's, you know, you don't move in 1 week. It's a 90 day deal to really move effectively and get your audience shifted. In some situations, you know, iTunes, it's pretty simple because iTunes will update immediately, but not the other apps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those don't follow suit. It has to be manually done. So, but yeah, if you can, you know, if you can work with your, whoever's got your feed and make sure that there's an easy way out, that's very, very, very advisable.
Yeah.
My suggestion is, and what really where we lose podcasters, we lose them in the beginning. You know, they hear a suggestion from a so-called podcasting expert that tells them to use Feedburner, and actually using Feedburner is better solution than being stuck in some vertical, because at least then that's easy enough to change.
Yeah.
And you can recover from that actually easier than you can from being on a system that's got you locked in. But the next question then really is, you know, I still remain skeptical. And of course, we've thought it's going to go away for a couple of years, but, you know, maybe Google will continue to feed the beast over there a little bit and keep Feedburner online. It just it's looking very, 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 you look at the interface, it's looking very long in the tooth.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't touched it in 10 years, so, or 5 years or 6 years or something like that. So.
Yeah. I mean, eventually it's going to be unusable product. I mean, it just depends on how much changes happen to, you know, the feeds standards that Apple puts out and things that you're doing too that can change the requirements. And is Apple gonna reinvest in keeping up with that? I would think probably not.
We're gonna add a couple things to the namespace. That's something that we're gonna do. We're gonna add a couple pieces to our namespace. Mm-hmm. Based on some feedback we've been getting from some folks. So it's going to add some additional depth level. See, someone in the chat room says, they're just talking about New Media Expo and talking about podcast movement. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jason is, too bad you can't come to PM this year. So, it's tough. And I'm trying to deconflict my schedule for podcast movement, too. I don't know if I'm going to. Know if it's going to be me. I think it's going to be Angelo and Brian at this mm-hmm. point, because I had some stuff pre-scheduled for that time frame too.
So I saw on the podcaster news site that there was a couple of posts in there about women in podcasting. I saw.
Yeah.
It seems to be an up and coming thing. We started talking about that topic a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And it feels like there's a lot of women coming into the space right now.
And there's also an upcoming keynoter that has been announced. Another keynoter, of course, Dan, I don't know if he's going to tell us in the chat room or not, but they've signed another keynoter. So they're going to have that. I don't know if that's their last one, but that's the they're going to make an announcement on that soon. So I haven't been hearing a lot out of the New Media Expo folks, too. I heard a couple of announcements, but nothing in the last week, really. I haven't heard much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sarah Koenig of Serial is going to be a keynoter at Podcast Movement.
Right. That was announced a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. So. And also Aisha Tyler is going to be there as well. So
who is she?
Those are two good names in the podcasting space.
Who is she?
She's a TV personality. Is on a kind of like an afternoon talk show. She's a stand-up comedian and an actress.
I don't watch TV, so I don't know who that is. I don't even know who that is.
Yeah. Well, she's a pretty well-known kind of TV star.
Okay.
And she does a lot of TV work, and she's a comedian. She's really, really funny, too. And she does a show called Girl on Guy.
Yeah.
She's been doing it since about 2011 or so.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Podcast Movement website, and I don't even recognize her. I'm totally out of it.
Yeah, she does the voice over for a character on Archer, and she was a co-star on the CBS TV show Ghost Whisperer. She was on Nip Tuck and Curb Your Enthusiasm and a lot of TV shows over the years. Yeah, I've met her a couple times.
Right. The surprising pick for me was Lou.
Who?
Lou Mangiello from WDW.
Oh, Lou,
Yeah, surprising. That was a surprising pick for me. I fully don't, I like Lou a lot, but don't know of him as a necessarily the guy that's in the keynote space, but I'm sure he's going to do a good job.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I also see Paul Culligan is going to be involved in that as well.
In Podcast Movement?
Yeah, he's a session leader.
Okay. Paul's kind of come and gone in the space, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. He's been kind of in and out. I mean, he's been on this show before.
Yeah, and he does more YouTube stuff now than I thought he did podcasting. But
yeah, I think he's kind of jump back into the podcast side. I think
it's cool again.
Trying to work on a book and that kind of stuff. Yeah, well, exactly.
Well, Paul is the master of affiliate marketing stuff, so it's, that's his big, almost everything he does is tied to affiliate marketing stuff. So
yep.
He's, tightly tied to that space, which I have, big challenges with personally from a, we'll leave it at that.
But I do like generally I think I like the direction that the keynotes are going. I mean, with Podcast Movement.
Yeah.
I think it's an improvement over last year. But that's what you would think would happen, it was a first year event.
Yeah.
Moving to the second year, I think they're getting a couple of really, really good names in there.
With their
create some balance, right?
Yeah, but, with their core audience largely being entrepreneurs, definitely the Pat Flynn and John pick were, not surprising to me.
Yeah.
And it definitely feeds that beast for that portion of their group. I just hope they are able to diversify enough to have more of a broader base of podcasters there. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what the attendees look like at the event.
Yeah.
This year. So,
and that's going to be in Dallas again.
Yeah. They moved it to a different location, but yeah, it's going to be in Dallas.
Fort Worth. Yeah.
Well, actually, same area, same Metroplex area.
Yep. Yep.
But, let's see here. What else have they got going? They actually have 4 days of stuff. Day one, I don't see the full schedule. It's not fully up.
Oh. Yeah, and I think that the full schedule for the New Media Expo is going to be posted here soon. I got a note from Dave saying the schedule for the New Media Expo is coming out here in the next week or so.
Yeah, I was asked to update something because they in my
yeah I had to
piece was did he something about scrambled the description of my, I don't know what happened. Their system must have truncated my, and the thing is I submitted it on their website and I didn't use, I wrote it up on the fly. So now I'm going to have to recreate my session description.
Yeah. I have to pull together a session description for our panel too. So I'll have to pull that together. So we should talk about, what's going to happen there.
Oh, Dan said that Lou had the highest rated talk last year, I guess.
That's great.
From a session standpoint.
Well, Lou's a great guy. He's been in the space a long time.
Yeah. I did do a session, but one of my advertisers didn't show up, which impacted us a little bit, but,
And you did a session with me and Mike from the Adam Carolla Show.
A lot of the challenges with sessions is time and who you are put up against in your session time frame. So if you get paired with two other people real strong, two or three other, then it really it impacts the numbers that you're going to have. So that the placement of time, most speakers probably don't care about where they get put in the stack, but I often look at the schedule and I'll say, because then you're competing where you normally wouldn't compete with maybe to be in a line in a different track. It can be a challenge, but mm-hmm. there's a lot that's not in your control there. You have to kind of take what you get.
Yeah. I was looking at the sponsors for the podcast movement and it's a company called Rainmaker Platform, Blog Talk Radio, Buzzsprout, Audio Boom, and Smart Podcast Player and Spreaker.
So Smart Podcast Player, I think it's Pat Flynn's thing.
Okay.
And then, of course,
Rainmaker. It's a website solution for building online marketing and sales platforms.
Yeah. Again, targeting that affiliate marketing group that's there.
Mm-hmm.
Buzzsprout, of course, they're a podcast hosting company.
Yep.
Don't know who Audio Boom is. Let me look at Audio Boom. Still don't know exactly what they are.
Yeah, I'm on their site too.
It looks like a bunch of audio clips, kind of like a YouTube for audio.
Yeah, it does kind of look like that.
Dan says Rainmaker is a new copy blogger product.
Oh, okay. Copy blogger.
That's, again, another affiliate marketing group. The copy blogger folks are.
Gotcha. But I think it's interesting that Blog Talk Radio is getting in.
Yeah. They're definitely working they're working to make their audio better. So,
Spreaker is a pretty, they've been around a long time as well.
Yeah.
They have a pretty comprehensive, podcasts or audio creation, live streaming, and podcasts, you know, hosting platform
that yep.
seems to be pretty powerful. They're based out of Berlin. So the CEO of that company has been on this show before.
Yep.
And both, what's interesting is both Spreaker and in Blog Talk Radio, I would put kind of in the same space somewhat, right? Of being a creation, hosting, and a live streaming platform.
The Blog Talk folks have a lot, you know, they've got years of perception stuff to fix.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure that the name is really appropriate nowadays. Blog is not associated with anything with on-demand audio these days.
Right.
Where Spreaker is a little bit more of a, you know, modern name, I think.
Yeah, I'm using them strictly for syndication. I have them as another syndication location. I just mm-hmm. pull the feed.
Yeah. And I think that there's good opportunity for them in the future as I think about what they're doing. And as you think about kind of this generational thing, I did see some demographics on who their users are.
That's Spreaker.
And it's younger. It trends very much younger than a more traditional podcasting platform.
Hmm. Dan's saying that Buzzsprout and Audioboom are in the same space as well. I wouldn't consider them to the same space. I don't understand. I don't get the correlation on that.
It says host, promote, and track your podcast. Says here,
host, track, and promote your podcast.
It looks like a way to do live stuff. It's not really clear on their site.
No, exactly it just looks like a YouTube for audio. It's their website is horrible.
So let's see.
I'm going to it all looks like is a directory, Rob.
Well, it does talk about upload and optimize iTunes and embed. Oh. You're looking at Audioboom.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Buzzsprout.
Oh, Buzzsprout. Yeah, they're another hosting provider. They're kind of like a Podbean.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
That's what it looks like.
One of the verticals.
Yeah. Let's go over and look at the sponsors of the New Media Expo. I mean, who's involved in that?
I don't know. Let's see here. Oops. All right. New Media Expo. Of course, they have they do both streaming, they do blogging. So let's see here. Let's look at the sponsor list. All right. So we've got WordPress, we have Advantage Media Solutions, DocuSign, Podcast One are so far, that's the only thing that's on their website beyond the media partner link.
Yeah. It doesn't look like they fully filled this out yet.
No. And I don't know if going back to their main website, I don't know if there's anything else it's on.
Yeah.
I know that they were trying to roll out a new website. And,
oh, they are.
Okay. Yeah. And I thought that would be out already, but obviously it's not.
Yeah.
Well, we will see. Both events are going to be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the attendees, and we'll see how, diverse the attendee stack is on both. That's important to me. Is that the attendee stack be pretty diverse?
And I think it will be. I think it'll be, it's going to be a completely different dynamic, I think.
And both shows have their own vibe. You know, the podcast movement stuff will be a little more close. And, Gary fully understands the vibe from, and the team over there fully understands the vibe from, like the first new media show or new media expo years and years ago. And I think we're going to have more of it. Of course, as it gets bigger, then it may not have as, the bigger the event gets, then it may not have as much of the people have more of a, they'll group up more niche-y, but that's to be expected. But as long as the evening events are where you can actually talk and network and not be blasted out by music, then I think it'll be good if they can kind of keep the same, you know, have fun, but at the same time be able to network and talk. I think it's great. Vegas, everyone just gets lost. So that's the advantage that the guys at Podcast Movement will have, is it's going to be more of a, you know, I think it'll be more down key, and I think people are going to have more social or more networking opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many times I go to events and I walk in and I almost want to immediately leave because, you know, your senses are assaulted.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not just being old. It's just, you know, I go there to do business. I don't go to the events to just necessarily have a, you know, have my earballs blown out. And maybe it's a function of age. You know, maybe I'm just showing my age.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on the page talking about hotels at the New Media Expo. And it looks like that the Westgate, you know, it's formerly the Hilton.
Right.
Is $169 currently.
And they can do cheaper than that, depending on where they're staying. I'm staying, my hotel room is about 70.
Yeah, are you staying up in the Old Town?
Yep, staying in Old Town. And you can probably stay on the Strip in certain locations, probably cheaper than $169.
Yeah, I see Circus is $54.
Don't stay at Circus.
I know. It's pretty bad.
Don't.
Yeah.
No, don't. You know, pay another $20 and, you know, move down a couple of hotels. Don't stay there.
Bally's is $109. And that's pretty bad too.
I think.
And the Flamingo is 129.
Don't stay there either.
Todd has standards.
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I got the best kept secret. I'm giving it away. I mean, the best kept secret's downtown. Yeah. You know, a nice, decent room, a great price. The transit's a little harder, but, you know, it's your money goes a lot farther.
Wow, you can stay at the Trump Hotel for $154 a night.
So that would probably be pretty nice. What's the Monte Carlo and Bellagio? And because they have buses. That's the thing that everyone to remember. There'll be bus services serving NEB that you'll be able to get on and get down to the show. You don't have to have a taxi, or you can just ride the bus down.
Yeah, it says that the Monte Carlo is $125.
The Monte Carlo is actually not bad. I think that's a good value.
Yeah.
It really is. The Monte Carlo rooms are nice. I used to stay there a lot. So you can't go wrong there. And here's another little secret why I stay in Old Town or downtown. Cheaper food. Cheaper food. It's a lot more. It's you save, you know, you figure when you stay on the Strip, it's going to be $60 a head to eat, probably. In most places that you go, 50, 40, you know, if you go to McDonald's, it's not. But, you know, if you eat in a restaurant on the Strip, you know, you're probably looking $50 or $60 with drinks.
But chances are, Todd, you're probably going to want to go out with a group of people after the show. So you're going to wind up on the Strip anyway, probably.
Well, when we stay in Old Town, we just go to the restaurants in Old Town. And it's, you know, it's definitely... You know, you go to there's lots of great restaurants there where you're in the price range of 30 to 40 a head. It's just overall cheaper, you know.
But is that going to be different because it's CES versus the New Media Expo?
The Strip is always, you pay a premium on the Strip. You just
I mean, most people that go to the New Media Expo are going to go there to spend time with people in the industry, right? Where you were there at CES, right? And
But the problem is you're going to go, you're probably going to have on this Strip with people, probably.
Yeah.
Depends on where they're at. Us will go where the people are at, but, sure. You know, breakfast, the breakfast, you know, it's just,
as far as that goes.
Cheaper, you know.
Yeah. I've done that, you know, with you, you know, I think the Plaza, we just walked across the street and there was like a breakfast place right across the street from the hotel.
$10, you know, and you're in and out.
Yep. I mean, I agree. It's cheaper up there.
It's cheaper. And it's just, you know, it's a little different vibe. I'd say you're hanging out with real people.
And fewer taxis. Yes.
And it's actually the taxi situation was good, but you know, there's not so much plastic people in Old Town.
Plastic people.
Yeah, okay. Plastic people I would be referring to as the type of entertainment that probably gets you divorced.
Oh, okay. That's completely different. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
Okay. But also it could be another way you could look at plastic people.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
Anyway, we're already over and we're kind of grasping here. So let's wrap this up.
Yes.
Hey, so again, I apologize. I'm in California all next week, Rob. And as I said before, I won't be able to do a show next Saturday. I'll be coming back. If you want to do one on Sunday, we can do that.
Yeah, I have. I was planning on doing that. So
okay.
Let's plan on doing it next Sunday.
Okay.
9 a.m.
All right. So we'll plan on doing that. And then and do we have that guest confirmed?
I believe so. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head who exactly it is.
Is it Bob?
Bob?
Is it the microphone guy?
Oh, Bob Heil. That's right.
Yeah, it's Bob Heil. So we're going to have Bob Heil on the show. So I'm looking forward to talking with him. It's going to be fun. Yep. So everyone, we're going to shift to Sunday. And I cannot discuss where I'm going to be all next week. I'm part of let's put it this way. I'm going to California, have multiple stops, and some of this part of our strategy coming out of last weekend. So
I'm going to be also down in San Francisco next week myself.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to be in the LA Basin area in San Diego.
Oh, you are. Okay.
Yeah, I won't be up in San Francisco at all. So no opportunity to connect. But
darn.
But have fun in San Francisco, Rob.
I shall.
Yeah. And then I guess.
Just a day trip. Just a day trip.
Oh, okay. Cool. Then what else? I think looking at the schedule here, the only other conflict I may have will be March. No, that'd be fine. Probably late March, March 28th, probably that week, maybe that weekend may be hard, but I think I'm good all the way up through that. You got to go to Phoenix for a 2-day or early in March, but that's a Sunday, Monday trip. So no big deal.
Well, we're rapidly approaching the New Media Expo.
Here, yeah, it's going to be on as quick, isn't it?
So we're going to have to do a real push on trying to bring on some folks that are going to be speakers at that event here over the next 6 weeks.
Okay, sounds good. And we'll just need to get them booked and we'll go from there.
Yep.
All right, folks, thanks for watching and listening today. We definitely appreciate it. It's Todd at newmediashow.com or Rob at newmediashow.com. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News. Rob, you're at?
At Rob Greenlee. Just my name with two E's.
And we thank you for hanging out with us. It's been fun. And we'll be here next week on Sunday versus Saturday. Same time, same bat channel, B-A-T, bat channel.
Todd, we're showing our age on that one.
Yeah, we are. All right, everyone. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Aloha.